Praise the Lord. All right, let's praise the Lord together. Most of you know that's the sign we're going to get started. Hines is not here today. So, so I hope that comes out real clear on this. I'm going to tell a joke that I heard, and then I'm going to ask Stacy Burton to come up and ask God's blessing on the meeting. Real neat thing. Most of you, or a lot of you, know that my mother-in-law is now living with us. My father-in-law passed away in December. And she really needs to not live alone because she's 88 and needs to live with somebody. And my wife and wife's sister took her around to different assisted living places, and she just couldn't feel right about it. And Deborah, my wife, and I talked about changing the living room to a bedroom. I don't have a bedroom on the main level, so we changed it to a bedroom, and she now lives there, and that's her bedroom. Fixed up real nice, but at least she's on the same level as the bathroom. She likes to go to Casey's over in Tucker and eat. It's a buffet, and she likes the catfish on Friday night. Deborah doesn't like to go there. So I say, Mom, we'll go next Friday. We'll leave about 4:30, and get there before the crowd. So we go there, and I find out that she knows a lot of people. They come by the table and talk to her. So I think that's part of the reason. But as we're there, we hear a loud voice of a guy talking to a group. It turns out he's a singer in a band. He talked about where they played at a gospel place. But he told the story about a guy that's speeding down the expressway, and the highway patrol comes up and pulls him over, and he immediately got out of the car and met the patrolman and said, sir, let me tell you, you see that woman in the front seat? That's my wife. You see the woman in the back seat? That's my mother-in-law. 3 weeks ago, my mother-in-law came to live with us to see how it would go. And this morning, they had a quarrel. And I'm trying to get my mother-in-law home before they make up. The patrolman said, I'm not writing you a ticket. In fact, I'm going to be your chaperone. So we're sitting there and hearing that. My mother-in-law laughs. And I thought, well, she's got a good humor. But the good thing about it was that we're making that transition, and to say it's easy, you know I'd be telling you wrong. So I'm not going to tell you that part. But we have made the adjustment, and you know, things in life come at us from all different directions. And you may be doing something next week that you didn't plan to do because of what happened. I pulled into the side of a Comcast truck 2 weeks ago. In fact, I got my car back today after 16 days in the shop, and they told me it would take 8 days to fix it. I had taken my insurance coverage off of rental because I had 3 cars, and I gave the car to Rebecca and Will and forgot to go back and add it, so I've been paying out of pocket for that. Now, that's unexcusable. That doesn't cost very much, the insurance coverage on there. So I'll go back and put that on there. But as we make different adjustments, I think it's important that you have places like this to cause you to think about really important things. And as we think about that, I'm going to share with you in a few minutes before I introduce our speaker some things that I'm realizing about the Holy Spirit's directions and the idea that each one of us is uniquely important because of your gifts and abilities as you participate in God's plan. And one guy that had an impact on me many, many years ago is Stacy Burton. He's here today. He's the broker and owner of Amira Realty. I want to invite Stacy up to ask God's blessing. Let's welcome Stacy.
Thank all of you. I think Larry and I had a great 20 years together at REMAX, and I want to sit down with him sometime and see how I really impressed him, make sure it was okay with the Lord. But, no, we're good friends and just happy to be here. And so thankful for Larry and Hines for having this meeting, Lord, 30-something years, 35 years, 33 years. You know, if the Lord wasn't in it, it wouldn't last this long. There would be no way. It would be down the tubes. Now, talking about mother-in-laws, we my wife's mom lived to be 94. She had 12 kids at home by a midwife. When my wife moved to Atlanta, she didn't even have a driver's license, and she was 21 years old. Had to go back to the state of Kentucky and get a birth certificate before she could get a driver's license. But her mother lived with us off and on with a sister for about 6 years. Funniest person I've ever met in my life. She never smoked like a fiend and never had a spot on her lungs or anything. I told my wife, you got great genes, I'll tell you that. Anyways, just a little story, a little side story to what Larry was talking about. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us and having us the ability to be here today with you and to worship you. Thank you for your speaker, for taking out of their time to come and tell us their story. And we just lift you up and thank you for this food and lead, guide, and direct us during this most gorgeous, beautiful day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I tell you, I'm going to change directions here because I can. I don't have anybody forcing me into a routine. We really don't ever have a routine that we must follow here. I want you to know that. And I think most of you know it. As the Lord leads, it is magnificent the things we get from Him. As we commit this next 45 minutes or so to glorifying Him, Craig asked me a while ago about the National Day of Prayer meeting. Before you take that bite, Philip, I want to ask Philip to come up and share just a couple of minutes. Philip was at that meeting. I was there, and of course, Jeff Meyer. And I appreciate Jeff following through on what I asked him to do, on sending me a text so I would put it on my schedule, because I intended to go in the past, and I didn't do it because it was not on my calendar. After we leave this meeting, I'm on to different things. But Jeff did send that text the following day, and I put it on my calendar. And as we were sitting there, Philip told me, he said, Larry, it's so refreshing at the luncheon to hear some of the things that are right on, that meet the very thing that I'm dealing with or really resonate with me. And it's through that our faith is increased and we are empowered. And I'll give you some words. In fact, let me say that before Philip gets up here. I want to share with you something I got from Bill Johnson. Choosing to fellowship with people who make me stronger is wise, and it provides me with a momentum for great faith and the ability to stand alone when the moment calls for it. You know, that's what we're doing. We're getting empowered for that moment when we may have to face it alone. Let's welcome Philip Saxton.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was fortunate enough. Jeff, where's Jeff? Oh, there he is. Invited us to the National Day of Prayer, and Larry and I sat together. Jeff went over and got me some water and brought me a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I really appreciate that. I need to buy you lunch sometimes. But attending the National Day of Prayer was really a very, very special thing. We had, I believe, 10 or 12 speakers from all walks of life, people who had been in prison, people who were dedicated to praying for others. Charlotte Nash, our leader, commissioner, spoke, and she talked about some of her own failings in life, and just an opportunity to really fellowship and be around fellow Christians, as this is an opportunity to do the same. But it reminded me of the need that our country has for prayer. And those of us who are active Christians and participating Christians, we really need to pray for our country. We really need to pray for our country. And, you know, we devoted that one little bit of time on that one day to praying for our country. But we need to pray for our country every day. Every day. We're fortunate to live here in America, but America has challenges. And so we really need to pray for our country that these challenges will be met and that we will all be one people, whether you are white, black, male, female, Asian, doesn't matter. We're all one people. And we need to pray for each other. So I just want to say that it was an absolute delight to be with these men, to sit there and listen to other folks share their experiences and to ask for prayer. It was an absolute delight. And next year, if you get an opportunity, please join us. I mean, it's just a very, very special occasion. So with that, thank you.
Thank you, Philip. As I listened to the different speakers there, the pastor of Lilburn First Baptist was there and the youth director. The guy I sat beside, I turned to introduce myself, and it's Ron Lambrose. I used to go to church with him at Cross Point. After the meeting, there was one of the speakers from Gwinnett College, and he sat down right in front of me. Charlotte McContact told Melvin, the guy from Gwinnett College, a contact he and I have, a friend, a mutual friend, and told him about this luncheon and asked what he'd like to come and share. And he immediately accepted, said, absolutely, I don't have a card, he said, but I get in touch with you. Well, Hines is out of town. He's at one of those shows that he goes to occasionally. I think this one's up in Washington. So I wasn't able to nail down a date, but his assistant emailed me on Monday morning, and I haven't gotten back to him because I don't know what the openings are. Hines kind of handles that calendar. And Charlotte Nash, I said, Charlotte, what you said was so powerful. We do a fellowship luncheon at our real estate office, our fellowship breakfast. It starts about 9:45. Would you want to come and share there? And she gave me her card and said, absolutely. Now, she's the committee, the Gwinnett Commission chairman, but she was quick to accept that invitation. And I've got to get back with her and make sure that she understands it's not 500 people. It's not as many people as were there. And then I think, is that Satan trying to make me play that down? Or should I just call her and tell her when that opportunity is? As I thought about this morning, the situation that we find ourselves in, you know, I would not want to do it without knowing that I've got a divine connection. I do not have to fear any situation or meeting anybody because I do have that divine connection. As we understand the operation of the Holy Spirit, for us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we should understand that it goes beyond anything we can think. In fact, who was we? Was it you, Jay? Who were we talking? Don, somebody here a while ago talking about Ephesians 3:20, that has more goodness than we can possibly imagine, more than our mind can comprehend. I think it is too frequent that we forget that. We forget about God's goodness because we're focused on the obstacles. And certainly with Terry and Nakia being on call with these people calling in, it's their responsibility to take calls from these agents that don't know what they're doing. They passed the test, but they don't know what they're doing. It's got to be frustrating to say, man, that is just common sense. Think about it. But they can't do that, because they have a certain responsibility. We have a certain responsibility when we see people out there dying and going to hell to approach them in a way that's not condemning. Because Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came that we could be saved. Praise the Lord that we can lead others to believe that. I read this morning in the book of John about where Jesus had fed the 5,000. You remember that? Where he multiplied the fishes and loaves and fed 5,000 people when his disciples didn't know where they were going to get the food to feed. Then he took a walk across the water. And he got over there and his disciples came. And when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Kind of small talk. "When did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they ask him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they ask him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you?" I started thinking about the different signs that Jesus did, the miracles that he performed as a sign. And we think of a sign as being a direction. You know, signs usually give you some kind of direction. Do not enter. Exit. 65 miles an hour. Speed limit. Whatever. And so often, our direction really determines our destination. Now, let's think about the direction we're headed, and we're going to end up at that destination if we don't change the course of where we're going. So many times we recognize in people in the world the idea that they do not follow the same direction we do, that divine direction I'm talking about. And the reason they don't is because they've never had it explained to them. They can listen to condemning messages from some of the pulpits that says you're going to hell if you don't straighten up. That's not good enough. See, Jesus came and he said the greatest commandment I give you is to love one another. And with love, we should be able to share with others something that is expressed not necessarily verbally, but we should be able to share with our actions and the deeds in our lives to where they say, "Man, you know, there's something about this. Something about him that I want to learn more about." And that can create a place for relationship. I picked up my car at the body shop because I had a fender bender a while ago. And as Buddy was sitting there after I'd given him the check, and I started sharing about the time over at Mountain Park First Baptist when I was the director of men's ministry. And he knew Robert Woodall, who was the pastor. And we get to talk, and his wife comes in. And I get to talk about experiencing God, Henry Blackaby's study, that I was involved in when I first visited that church. And his wife sat down there and listened. Turns out Buddy goes to a Catholic church. So he's not used to a platform like this where laymen will stand and talk about the goodness of God and talk about how God works in their lives. So as I sat there, he was amazed. His wife came in and he says, "Come on in, honey, we're talking about church." He was glad we're talking about church when she showed up, right? I see him at the gym two or three times a week. But I've been knowing him for years. I've had several times I need body work done. And I use State Collision Center. He and his dad have run that for a long time. Let me say that me being able to do what I did very naturally, and it was received very well, didn't come about overnight. They've been influences in my life. I think of what I mentioned a while ago, Stacy, with us working together for those years, and you being an influence. Don, I think about the influence you are on me now, even though we've known each other less time than Stacy, but you've been a terrific influence on me, a terrific inspiration and support. Think about Jeff and the way he has met my son. I look around the room, there's so many people here that have helped me to get to where I am. We can't do it alone, and we shouldn't. We should be spending time where we can focus on God's work and understand His will and have our faith grow. I appreciate you being here today because I believe you understand what I'm saying is important. As we come with common stories, stories that can be understood as Jesus told the parables in a way that it was a sign, that parable was maybe a sign, but the interpretation for direction often followed that. He might have to break it down for some. You know, we hear messages, or we hear things now that immediately we connect with. It resonates within us, and we know that that is direction from the Lord. It didn't happen accidentally.